Tonight's message is called A Place Called There. A Place Called There. Friend, I don't know exactly where you are in your life tonight. Perhaps you have more bills than money to pay the bills, so you need financial provision from God. Or maybe you're physically ill and you're needing provision of healing from the Almighty God. Maybe you're dealing with a broken relationship and need God to bring reconciliation. I don't know where you are tonight. Only you and God know where you are tonight. And you know, Elijah was a great prophet in the Old Testament. How many here have heard of Elijah the prophet of old? All right, so Elijah was also needing physical provision from God. If you look at 1 Kings 17, it says that there was no rain in the land of Israel. And God sent Elijah to drink from the brook Cherith. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. So we're going to pick up in 1 Kings 17, verse 7. So remember, Elijah was drinking from the brook Cherith. Verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. So God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, for there he commanded a widow to supply him with food. So what did Elijah do? Elijah went to Zarephath. It was in Zarephath that God provided for the prophet Elijah. Now, God gave Elijah a command to go where? To go there to Zarephath. And there's a couple of things you have to understand here. It might have been difficult for Elijah to go to Zarephath. Why? There's a couple of things he might have been struggling with. Number one, Zarephath was a Gentile area. And the Jews considered the Gentiles unclean. Second, Zarephath was within the jurisdiction of Sidon. And guess who ruled Sidon? Guess who ruled Sidon? The king of Sidon was the father of Jezebel, Elijah's arch enemy. Sidon was ruled by the father of Jezebel, and Jezebel was the arch enemy of Elijah. So there could have been some thoughts going through Elijah's mind. He's like, "God, you're commanding me to go to Zarephath. But God, Zarephath is a Gentile area. God, you're commanding me to go there. But in that area, it's ruled by the father of my arch enemy, Jezebel." But even though it was tough for Elijah, what did he do? Still, he took the step of obedience and went to a place called there. He went there to Zarephath, a place of God's provision for his physical needs. That place called there, Zarephath, was the place where God was going to provide for Elijah's physical needs. So tonight we're talking about a place called there. We're going to continue reading on in 1 Kings 17, verses 10 to 15. We're going to read about this widow woman of Zarephath. All right. So Elijah went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called and, "Please bring me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." So this lady was getting ready to prepare her last meal for her and her son. They were giving up on life. But Elijah said to her in verse 13, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. So Elijah asked the widow woman to do what? He asked her a pretty difficult thing, because it was the last oil and the last flour that she had. He asked her to make a small cake of bread for him before she made one for her family. It must have been really tough for her, right? Because she only had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour to make the last meal for her and her son, and then they were getting ready to die. But you know, even though it was tough for her to make this meal, the small cake of bread for Elijah, even though it must have been really tough for her to do because she had just a little bit of oil and just a little bit of flour, she still did what was tough. She still obeyed, right? And she made a small cake of bread for the prophet Elijah. She obeyed, and like Elijah, she arrived at a place called there. A place of God's provision where there was food every day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. We're talking tonight about a place called there. Both Elijah and the widow woman arrived at a place called there, a place of God's supernatural provision. Is that making sense here tonight? Friend, the good news is that there is a place called there for you. Let me say it again. There is a place called there for you. There is a place of God's provision for whatever need you have in your life. How will you get to the place called there in your life? Remember, God had a place called there for Elijah. It was in Zarephath. God had a place called there for the widow woman, provision for her physically. And God has got a place called there for you, a place of His divine, supernatural provision for whatever need you're facing tonight. Let me ask you, how do you get to the place called there that God has got for you? You got it. She took the words out of my mouth. By taking the step of obedience to what God is telling you to do. You see, Elijah was this great prophet of God. Elijah had great faith in God. God communicated and talked with Elijah. Elijah had relationship with God. Elijah had faith and trust in this almighty God. But with his faith, hitched to his faith, he also put action. He had obedience. He put action, obedience, to his faith to receive the miracle provision. Remember, Elijah had faith, but he also put action to his faith. He put obedience to God to his faith, and he received the miracle provision of God in his life. There was food every day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. 1 Kings 17, verse 15. You may claim tonight to have a lot of faith in God. You might be saying, man, I've got faith in a great God. And that's good. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's awesome that you have faith in God. And you might be believing tonight, you know, I'm believing for God's provision financially. I'm believing that God is just going to drop this financial miracle into my life. He might. But you know, the Word of God also says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is useless. This is what James writes in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It's a great epistle. James chapter 2. Verse 20. So he's picking up on a teaching here, James, and he says, "You foolish man, Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless, or that faith without deeds is dead? Faith without works is dead. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So what is James referencing in the life of Abraham? Do you remember what God asked Abraham to do in Genesis chapter 22? He asked him to do a very difficult thing. He said, Abraham, let me turn there real quick. Genesis chapter 2. Sometime later, Genesis 22:1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. That was tough. Isaac was the promised son. And God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac in this region of Moriah. And even though it was tough for Abraham, Abraham obeyed. He started going. And if you jump down, in Genesis chapter 22, it says in Genesis 22 verse 9, he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, literally, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. God asked Abraham. Abraham had great faith in God. He asked Abraham to do a very difficult thing. And even though it was tough for Abraham, he was bringing his son to this area of Moriah to sacrifice him. And as he was about to do it, God provided a ram, and he called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. You see, Abraham had great faith in God, but his faith was made complete by what he did. James chapter 2. What did Abraham do? He picked himself up, he got a son, and he went to the area of Moriah to sacrifice the promised son. His faith was made complete by what he did. Elijah's faith was made complete by what he did. Remember, Elijah had great faith in God. He was a prophet of God, a powerful prophet of God. God brought about incredible miracles through the life of Elijah. He had great faith in God, but his faith was made complete by what he did. What did Elijah do? He picked himself up according to God's command. He obeyed and he went to Zarephath. The widow woman who provided for Elijah, she had faith. Her faith was made complete by what she did. What did the widow of Zarephath do? She made a small cake of bread first for Elijah. Her faith was made complete by what she did. She took action and she made that cake of bread for Elijah. And miraculously, God provided food every day for Elijah, the widow woman, and her family. Isn't that good news here tonight? Yeah. Say it with me tonight. My faith will be made complete by what I do, by my obedience to do. What God is telling me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God honors faith, God loves faith, and God honors the fact that you know deep down on the inside that He can do a miracle in your life. God honors faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. To me, that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. But with your faith, God is also looking for what? For your faith to be made complete, God is looking for what? For you to do something, for you to be obedient to what He is telling you to do. Your faith will be made complete by what you do. It's in James chapter 2. You see, he's talking about Abraham, that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Say it again with me tonight. My faith will be made complete by what I do, by my obedience to what God is telling me to do with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read you a illustration here from the speaker's quote book. It's about a little girl. It's a very, goes right in line with the message tonight, and this is it. A little girl asked her friend if she could go on a picnic with her. "Just a minute, I'll go ask my mother." When she came back, the friend told the girl that her mother said she could not go. The girl then said, "Oh, you probably didn't talk hard enough. Don't let your mother go at that. Go beg her some, and then she'll probably let you go." "Oh no," the friend answered. "When my mother says no, she doesn't change her mind. She knows what's best for me, so I'll do what she says." How much Christians should be like that, willing to take God, what God says, realizing that He knows what is best for us. Obedience like that little girl is what God is looking for in our lives. Yes, faith honors God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God loves the fact that you know deep down on the inside that He can do a miracle in your life. But along with your faith in God, you need to obey what God is telling you to do. Along with this faith that you have in God, there's something you have got to do in the natural to experience the place called there, the place of God's provision in your life. Is that making sense here tonight? Could you say amen tonight?
Amen.
So, you might be believing God for a financial miracle. And you're believing, "Man, I just know that God is going to bring this amount of money into my life to pay these bills." And you can know it and you can have faith in God, and that's awesome, and God really honors that. But perhaps God may be asking you to do something with that faith. God may be saying to you, "Yes, I want to bring a financial miracle into your life, but I need you to move from this city to that city, because it's in that place called there, outside of Tulsa, that your financial provision is." And so my question tonight is this: are you going to be like Elijah? Will you be like the widow woman of Zarephath? Will you be like Abraham and act on God's word for your life? Will you obey what God is telling you to do? If God is telling you to move, if God is telling you to go to that place, will you do what God is telling you to do? Because God is saying, "My provision," He might be saying to you, "My provision, miracle financial provision for you is in a place called there." You can have faith that God can provide for you, but you've also got to have obedience to do what God is asking you to do. Faith in God without action, without works, is useless. It's dead. It's ineffective. Is that making sense here tonight? We went through several accounts tonight. As I said, Elijah, the widow woman, Abraham. There's other ones in the Bible that had faith in God and acted on their faith. They obeyed what God was telling them to do. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve an unchanging God. The God that required faith and obedience in the Old Testament throughout the Word is the same God today here in Tulsa who requires faith and obedience for you to get to the place called there, the place of His provision in your life. Is this message making sense to you tonight? So you might be believing God for physical health in your body. Maybe you were diagnosed with high blood pressure. Maybe you were diagnosed with diabetes. And you might be thinking, man, I just know that I know that I know. Deep down on the inside, I've got faith that God can lower miraculously, supernaturally, my blood pressure. I just know that God can supernaturally remove the diabetes, and God can. But is it possible that God is asking you or telling you to do something? Is it possible that God is telling you need to change your diet? You need to remove those fatty foods? You need to eat more vegetables and more fruit? Is it possible that God is telling you need to get on a better exercise plan? You need to walk 20 minutes a day, 25 minutes a day, or run 20 minutes a day, or bike more often? You see, God may be asking you to do something in conjunction with your faith for you to get to the place called there, the place of provision of physical healing in your body. Is that making sense here tonight? I'm trying to stress the point over and over in this message. You might be believing God for a reconciled relationship. Maybe somebody has divorced you. Maybe somebody has left you. Maybe somebody has turned their back on you and you're feeling so rejected tonight. And you want to be back in relationship with that person. And you're probably thinking, I just know that I know that I know deep down on the inside. I've got faith that God could just supernaturally snap his finger and reconcile this relationship. And he could, but most likely God is going to ask you to do something in conjunction with your faith for that relationship to be reconciled. It's great, it's awesome to have faith that God can reconcile that relationship automatically, instantly. But he's going to ask you to do something. He might be telling you, pick up the phone and call that person. It's been some years. Write that person an email. The person lives nearby. Go to the person, knock on their door, and spend some time with them. He might be asking you to take some practical steps in order to reconcile that broken relationship. Your faith will be made complete by what you do. Do you want to reach the place called there concerning this human relationship? Then start doing what God is asking you to do, even though it might be difficult. Amen. You know, when God asks you to do something, it's not always going to be easy. The Christian walk is not peaches and cream. The Christian walk, walking with God, is not a bed of roses. God is going to ask us to do some difficult things at times. This God that we have great faith in will ask us to do some pretty tough things at times, and your faith will be made complete by what you do. You will arrive at the place called there, the place of God's provision for that need in your life, if you act upon your faith, because faith without works, faith without obedience to God is useless, it's ineffective, and it is dead. But faith with works, faith with deeds, faith with obedience to God is alive and effective and miracle working. Isn't that awesome? That's good news, isn't it? So we hear a lot of messages on faith. I've preached a lot of messages on faith, but it's also good to have that stress that in conjunction with our faith in God, we have got to act upon what God is telling us to do. In your times of prayer, God is going to whisper to you. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. As you read the Word of God, God's going to speak to you and tell you what he wants you to do. The question is, will you take the step of obedience? Will you obey and actually do what God is telling you to do, like Elijah did, like the widow of Zarephath, like Abraham, so that you arrive at the place called there, a place of God's provision?